Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
8 weeks ago, we started on a journey. We started looking at stories in the Bible, passages in the Bible that related to water. And the thing I discovered with this series is that we could have probably done this series for the next 2 years. The Bible talks about water a lot. A lot. And so what I'd like to do today is maybe just put a pause. I'm sure we'll talk more about water in the future. But what I'd like to do is finish off where I started. So we'll do a full circle today. Today I want to talk to you about water in prophecy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for every person that's here today. I pray that you would bless us. Lord, I pray that you would speak, that your prophetic word would be heard, and it would be followed. We pray in your name. Amen. Do you remember the best nap you've ever had? Some of you gave me a strange look. I remember the best nap I've ever had. I do. Happened over 30 years ago. It was on my senior class trip. Our senior class had rented a sailboat and gone between Miami and Bimini, and then we were on our way back. It had been a full week. We were busy, having a blast. And as we're coming back, as we're sailing back, a bunch of the guys and I said, "We're worn out. It'd be nice to take a nap. But who wants to go below deck? Let's grab our sleeping bags and put them up on the deck." And to this day, I will never forget that nap because it was the perfect nap. I got inside my sleeping bag and the wind just came whipping through. And it was like this air conditioner. It was the perfect temperature. It was just it's this flow of air, and I love a flow of air. And it just the perfect temperature, not too hot, not too cold. And the waves, you could hear the waves against the boat, and there was the natural rocking of the boat, and best nap ever. I'm done. No, I've got more. I actually feel like laying down and taking a nap as I talk about it right now. It's like such a good memory. And so I can only imagine, I understand why Jesus took a nap on a boat. Jesus has been preaching, busy, a lot going on. Heal people, teaching. And at the end of the day, his disciples and he get into a boat. He lays down in the back and he says, "I'm ready for that best nap that Ken's talking about." He lays down. Jesus takes that nap. He goes to sleep. And the disciples say, "We've got this. We're sailors. We're fishermen. A lot of us are anyway. We know what we're doing. You take it easy there in the back, Jesus. We're going to be fine." But they weren't fine because as they leave, as time goes by, suddenly a storm comes up. Now, my nap had no storm. I'm pretty sure if it had even a slight storm, I would have woke up. I'm pretty sure. I would have been freaking out. But Jesus is out. And the storm gets worse and worse. They start trying to bail the boat out. They're worried that it's going to capsize. They are terrified. And Jesus sleeps right through it. Finally, the disciples who had had it up to that, "Well, we know we're sailors. We know what we're doing. Jesus, you just take a nap there in the back. We're fine." Finally, they're like, "You know what? Turns out we could use one more person to bail." Isn't it interesting how we limit God? Because I really don't think the disciples woke up and had any thought that Jesus was going to do anything besides maybe help them row and bail. But they wake Jesus up and they go, "Don't you care? We're all about to die." And I just, for in my imagination, I don't know how it really went, but in my imagination, Jesus wakes up slowly, in the middle of the storm. He looks around. "Oh, you of little faith." And I don't hear him shouting at them. I don't hear him screaming. I don't hear him being, I just hear him just saying, "Peace, be still." And suddenly, the lake is calm. There's no storm. And the way the Bible actually says it is the disciples were terrified, which is what tells me that they didn't expect him to do that. They just had this little thing that they wanted him to help us row, help us oar, pray a little harder for us. And Jesus is like, "What are you worried about? I got this. Peace. Be still." When we start talking about prophecy, I have found that Christians, and especially maybe Seventh-day Adventists, really love the storm. What do I mean by that? I mean, there's some of you that when you heard I was going to talk about prophetic water, you're like, "Man, I hope he goes to the seven trumpets in Revelation and talks about the second trumpet where a mountain gets thrown into the ocean and kills a third of the ocean life. And I hope he, and then I hope he moves on to the third trumpet where there's, where there's that star wormwood, which means bitterness, that goes into the rivers and the lakes and makes a third of the water bitter and people die from drinking it. Or maybe he'll talk about the dragon that spews water out of his mouth to try to drown the woman, but the wilderness opens up and takes in that water. I am hoping that Ken talks about the storm. And I want you to know that prophecy is good. There's an important, those stories are important. Those prophecies are important. They have an important place. But I wonder sometimes if we spend more time worrying about the catastrophe than the answer. I wonder if when prophecy talks about horrible things happening, it's simply to let us know, don't be surprised. I got this. And so today, when I talk about water and prophecy, I want to talk about the "I got this." Because if you look at just the storm, what's that going to create? Fear. And that's what happens so many times when people focus on certain aspects of prophecy. They're afraid. And they forget that Jesus is in the back of the boat. He's got it. Not a problem. Yeah, there's going to be a storm. There are going to be major problems. But I've got this. So let's talk about that. Let me go to one of my favorite passages that involves prophecy and water. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. "With joy, you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation." Does that sound good to anybody else today? Do me a favor. Will you read it with me? There's so many of you. So let's read it together. "With joy, you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation." What is that fountain of salvation? Good news. Jesus doesn't leave it ambiguous. Jesus tells us himself, "Those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again." It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring fountain within them, giving them eternal life. Jesus in this passage is talking to the woman at the well. That's the way that we term her, the Samaritan woman that he meets at a well, found in John chapter 4. I've preached on this more than a few times, so I'm not going to go ahead and belabor it today. But Jesus comes in contact with this woman who is thirsty physically and thirsty on a spiritual level. She's ostracized by her community. She's having troubles. And Jesus says, I've got something for you. I have a fountain that you can drink from with joy deeply. And it will change everything. That storm, peace. Be still. And Jesus doesn't just make this promise to just this woman. Jesus makes this promise to you and me today. In the words of Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 3, for I will pour out water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields, and I will pour out my spirit on your descendants. A prophetic word. Yeah, we can talk about beasts coming out of the sea, but wouldn't you rather talk about the Jesus that puts his spirit in you? Wouldn't you like to be assured that when those beasts come out of the sea, you have a Savior who's already invested in you, who will see you through any problems, any trials, that Jesus is there with you? I will pour out water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields. Has anybody ever in here been so dehydrated that you had to get medical attention? A few of you. First time I went to summer camp as a kid, I don't think I drank on the bus ride there. I don't think I had any water. And I got there and we started playing out in the field. We were playing a game called Dare Base. If you don't know what it is, I'm sorry. I don't have time to explain it to you, but it was something that was really cool in my day and my time. And we were playing this thing and all of a sudden I start feeling a headache, but I don't let that stop me. I go ahead. And then I start feeling very like the next thing I know, I'm kind of sitting on the ground. And the next thing I know, the medical team is there. They're like, hey, you're dehydrated. Hey, I'm like, that's cool. Give me some water. And I'll get right back at it. And they're like, yeah, it doesn't work that way. You're going to have to rehydrate. You're going to have to get somewhere cool. You're going to need to take a break for a little bit while we rehydrate you. Family, is there anybody here today who is in need of hydration? Is there anybody here in this church who is feeling spiritually dehydrated? I'm not asking you to raise your hand because I know that we'll feel like maybe I'd be judged, but let's just be honest. There's more than a few people here today who I know fall into that category. Can I just be real for you a minute? As a pastor, there have been moments in my pastoral ministry where I have felt spiritually dehydrated, and I have needed to drink with joy from the well that is Jesus. And it doesn't happen that things just change right away, that everything like, oh, just one drink and boom. Sometimes it takes a while to rest and rehydrate. But what Jesus is promising in this passage through Isaiah is that he will put his spirit on us. In us is the promise that Jesus gives us while he's here on earth. That he will put his Holy Spirit in us. And what does that Holy Spirit do? It creates one of the things that we've talked about here at Whole Life a couple times is the fruits of the Spirit. You've heard about the fruits of the Spirit? What happens when you water a plant or a tree? It produces fruit. If it's in good soil, getting good hydration, that is going to produce fruit. And so when you get the Holy Spirit into you, it's going to produce fruit. So there's good fruit, by the way. That's what the Holy Spirit produces, but then there's the fruit that I do on my own when I'm dehydrated. You want to take a look at that list? No, I don't either, but we're going to anyway. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. I know that you've already pictured somebody else. That person, those people, them. What about you? Is there anything on that list in your life right now? If you're like the Pharisee that said, thank God that I'm not like that tax collector over there, turn to the person next to you and ask them which one is on your list, because they'll know. Because I look at that list and I see a couple. I see a couple areas where God's Holy Spirit needs to come and rehydrate a broken, sad person who needs help from God, who thinks that he can row a little harder in the boat. I won't bother you back there, Jesus. I've got this one. That selfish ambition that I've got this. I'll just row a little harder. Oh, that lustful thinking. Oh, don't worry about that, Jesus. I don't want to bring that one to you. I don't want you to know that. You know everything, but I don't want you to know that. I've got this. Outbursts of anger. Ooh, let's not talk about that one. Family. I don't bring this list up to shame you. I bring this list up to let you know you need Jesus. Period. And Jesus is in the back of the boat, and he's ready to calm the storm. But do you just want to keep on rowing? Or do you want to say, help me, I know I don't have enough faith, help my unbelief? Because what happens is, if you have the fruit of the Spirit living in you, Jesus wants to turn these things around, because this is what the fruit of the Spirit looks like. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our love lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And I know a few of you are thinking, I think there are maybe some laws that are against some of those things. At least it feels like that when I read the news. But let me tell you something. In God's kingdom, the only kingdom that matters, there is no law against these things. This is what God wants to be producing in our life. This is what God wants to do with you. And this is what, when you drink from the well with joy, what God wants to start producing in your life. Now, let me ask you this question. Have you ever watched a tree bear fruit before? Yeah? Anybody seen a tree? You know, maybe you have a tree in your fruit tree in your backyard, you watch it. How many of you see that tree sitting there and go, oh, here we go. Time to produce some fruit. Oh, try a little harder. No, that tree produces fruit because of where it's planted and the moisture that it receives. That's why it produces fruit. It's not trying harder, it's abiding. It's being. So the question for you is, where are you planted? And if you're not planted where you need to be, do you want to give God permission to plant you where you should be planted? That's the question. Because here's the good news. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. Now, just stop for a second. I don't know how many of you have ever been to the Dead Sea. I have not, but I have been to Salt Lake City and to the Great Salt Lake there. And I cannot imagine the amount of water it would take to make that water drinkable. But guess what? God's able to. God says, I want to send a stream of water so powerful it is going to make the Dead Sea fresh again. It's going to not just make it brackish, it's actually going to make it so that it will grow things. So I want you to know, no matter how salty your life is right now, no matter how full of that first list of things that aren't good your life is, I want you to know you have a God that's able to overcome it if you want to allow that God to flood your life with his Holy Spirit and his living water. And that is a prophetic word you can count on. There is nothing that is too big. If the Dead Sea can be made fresh, then I know your heart can be made fresh as well. I want to close out in the book of Revelation, but before I go to Revelation, I want you to see a picture that God has painted in the Old Testament, and that he's going to paint again in the New Testament in the book of Revelation in Ezekiel. Ezekiel writes these words, "Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for the food and the leaves for healing." Take a look at that. This is the book of Ezekiel. And then we go to the book of Revelation, and we see this. "Then the angel showed me a river with water of life." By the way, this is a picture of heaven, because we have Jesus in heaven at this point. Like, heaven is now, like, the end. And there's a new heaven, new earth. And the angel showed me a water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit with a fresh crop every month. You see how that matches Ezekiel? A fresh crop every month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. No longer was there any curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him forever. I want to stop for a minute because Ranko Stefanovic has something that I love that he said about these leaves. He goes, why would you need leaves in heaven for healing? Right? There's no sickness, no death. Why do we need healing? And Ranko Stefanovic points out, by the way, if you don't know Ranko, he is a wonderful theologian in the Seventh-day Adventist Church who wrote a tremendous book on the book of Revelation. Ranko says that these leaves symbolize the healing that happens in our fractured world between people and nations and cultures. The healing of the nations. Basically, there is no more God's chosen people only. It's just one people. And the healing and the rifts that we create, because we go, I'm God's special person, that's all healed. It's all healed. These leaves that, by the way, how do leaves happen? They happen because the tree is planted where it's getting water. So the water that's nourishing this, the water that's coming down the main street of heaven that's nourishing these trees is producing these leaves. And what does God produce in people? He produces the ability to get along, to heal divisions, to heal what comes between. And I know for some of us that can feel like a big order because there are hurts in our life that just don't feel like they can be healed. But guess what? In heaven, healing. Healing. The healing of the nations will take place. So family, I just have a question for you. Do you want to wait to heaven to have that? Or is it possible that you could do this? Drink now from that river. Know you not that you as plural, are the temple of God? Is it possible that here on this earth, that through us, a river of life from God can flow out into this world and bring healing where there is division? After all, what we saw up on that screen was that the fruits of the Spirit are what? Love, joy, patience, peace, self-control. And the opposite end of it is strife, dissension, all the other things. So is it possible that God, right now, right here, that we don't have to just wait for heaven to experience these healing leaves and these trees on either side, but is it possible now to drink deeply from the fountain of salvation and allow that to flow out of us and create healing in the world that we come into contact with? I believe it is. Because this text from Isaiah chapter 12, actually is preceded by Isaiah 11. And Isaiah 11 says that out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. This is prophesying about Jesus. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. And when they know the Lord, they are drinking deeply from the fount of salvation. And where they're drinking from the fount of salvation, the good fruit happens. And when the good fruit happens, this world is made a better place. Do I believe that this whole world right now, that things are going to get suddenly all better and there won't be? I don't know about that, but what I know is I'm going to do my part to make that happen. Whether I believe it can happen or not is not the point. My point is I'm going to believe God's prophetic word. I'm going to drink deeply from the fountain. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit every day to live in my life. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit, not that just makes me a better person, but makes the world a better place to be because of what God is doing in me. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone, this is how Revelation closes out, let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty, come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. Come to Jesus and let Jesus change this world. Drink from the water that is Jesus. I love you, family. Go love your world.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast-related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.